Let us turn to page 69, if you will, the last hymn on that page. It's a favorite with all of us, I'm sure, that know anything about the grace of God. Newton in the first verse says, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see." Page 69, let us stand and sing that. We come together, my brethren and friends, as we humbly hope to worship the true and the living God. We desire to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified, But we realize full well that God, who is a spirit, is worshipped in spirit and in truth, and is not worshipped in any other way. I have long since, my friends and brethren, desired that I might preach the truth, sticking very closely to the things that are revealed or have been revealed, not only in the scriptures, but the things that God has revealed in the hearts of his people through sending his spirit into their hearts and revealing to them the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. And so I am fully persuaded that we cannot, the Lord's people cannot understand the truth as it is in the scriptures unless, and shall I say until, the Lord reveals or sends forth his spirit into their hearts, revealing to them the very same things that he enabled the Apostle Paul and Peter and James, John and all the others to write. And so I have long since desired that, as the writer expressed it, as admonishing them that they should contend earnestly for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. I have nothing else in my desire to contend for save these things that are revealed. And I know that except it had been the Lord's will many years ago to bring me out of the darkness that I was in and did not realize it, and to bring me forth, as I humbly hope, into the marvelous light of the Son of God, at the same time showing me, teaching me, that in me, that is in my flesh, that dwell no good thing, and teaching me also that he had sent his Son here into the world for the purpose of redeeming his people from all their sins and all their iniquities. This I did not know. This you did not know until it came to pass in the Lord's good time and pleasure that he quickened, the Lord quickened. Nobody else, not men, not the schools of men, but he hath quickened us who were dead in trespasses and in sins. Now I'm well aware of the fact, my brethren, friends, that this is one thing that I have been stressing for the last 2 or 3 years, and almost to the exclusion of some other things that are just as important and just as wonderful and just as necessary. But somehow, some years ago, I was told by one of our elders, one that I loved very dearly and have for many, many years, and he said, Brother Wood, says, you are a doctrinal preacher. Well, I had to admit it was true. I hadn't thought so much about it being the doctrine, because I had always, of course, dependent upon the grace of God to enable me to stand before his people and contend earnestly for these things. But I'm glad if the Lord's will is that I should continue to contend earnestly for that faith. I don't know anything else. I don't want to know anything else. But I have been made to rejoice many times in the things that I have felt deep down in my very soul, as I am to hope, and found it confirmed by the writings of the apostles and by the preaching of Jesus and all the other things that he is pleased to reveal to his people. Jesus said unto Peter, you know, flesh and blood has not revealed it to thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so this morning I thought about the apostle as he was writing and had visited the Galatian brethren, writing them, because there was trouble there. And Paul says to them in the sixth verse of the first chapter, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For it is, if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past, that in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. Now I read down through the 18th verse of the first Galatians. Many wonderful things there that if the Lord is pleased to open them up to my mind and understanding, get them loose in my tongue, I'd like to talk about them some this morning, because these are wonderful things, and I have no desire of knowing anything outside of the Scriptures. But I know that there are many things in the Scriptures that I do not understand, but I know that I, as well as you, are made necessary to realize that we can't dig out these things that are laid down here in this book, but God must reveal them. And when God reveals them in our hearts and opens up to our understanding the Scriptures, then we believe identically the same things that the brethren in days of old believed, that we and all the little children of God now believe, because God reveals all of these things to his people. Now may we look to him in a word of prayer. Our gracious Father, we humbly hope that we come with a desire, no other desire, than to worship thee this morning in spirit and in truth, because we realize that thou hast done something great for us, gracious Father, in bringing us out of a state of being dead in trespasses and in sins, and didn't know it, did not realize it. But thou didst reveal it to us when thou didst quicken us who were dead, and brought us to know the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. And all the work that was performed by the Spirit of God in our hearts brought us to know that there was no truth, there was no gospel, except those things that Jesus himself preached and contended for, and except those things that were revealed by the Spirit of God in our hearts, so that we were made to know that it was by the grace of God, as the Apostle Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Now, Father, he has given us many wonderful and glorious things. And as I know us, desire to go beyond anything that is not written But I pray thee, and we pray thee, Father, that thou wilt open up to our understanding, and as we come before thee privately or publicly, and before thy people privately or publicly, that we might be blessed to contend earnestly only for those things that thou hast revealed to us. Father, we pray thee to remember thy people, because thou hast a people everywhere. Every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, thou hast a people. And thou knowest who they are and where they are. And we are made to realize and know full well that only thou canst send thy Spirit into the hearts of those people that thou didst choose in Christ thy Son before the world began, and bring them to know what dead sinners they are and what vile sinners they are, so that wherever they may be in thy wisdom and thy glory, wherever they may be throughout the whole world, O Lord, we know that thou art able and thou dost reveal to thy people, whether they be long ways off or close by, that thou canst and dost reveal to them the truth as it is in Christ. And for these things, O Lord, we give thee thanks. For these things, O Lord, we desire to contend earnestly for that faith. We pray thee, if it is thy will, to be with us, to give us a door of utterance, to give us a hearing ear and an understanding heart, so that we might preach the truth as it is in Christ Jesus, and know nothing save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Father, be with us, we pray thee, for Jesus' name and for his sake, that thy name might have all the praise, the honor, and the glory, both now and evermore. Amen. I know, my brethren, that the truth is contained in this, we call it God's Word, because God enabled his servants, holy men of old, and of his apostles, and those writers of the epistles, to know the truth, to write the truth, and to confirm the truth by their writings in those things that the Lord has revealed and does reveal, continues to reveal, in the hearts of his people. Now, we know that we are only by the grace of God we are what we are, not for any wisdom that we may have, not for any wisdom that men may teach us or can teach us, because we have long since learned that man shall no more teach his neighbor, saying, "Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least to the greatest of them." Now this is a matter that is laid down by our brethren and by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have no desire whatsoever to go beyond, but rather earnestly that the Lord might reveal to us the truth as it is in Christ Jesus, and that we might realize that what we are is strictly, and in every sense of the word, by his grace, and that it is not in our power to search the scriptures and find the truth, because the Lord said, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me." Now, a lot of people read the scriptures, and I hope that, and I feel that sometimes they rejoice in them, but there has to be a work by the Spirit of God in the hearts of all the Lord's people, which he reveals and puts in their hearts, so that they have been made to realize that in themselves, that is, in my flesh, saith the apostle, dwelleth no good thing. And so the apostle was very much concerned after his trip to Damascus, after the Lord struck him down on his way to Damascus. The apostle, who was a man that earnestly believed what he was contending for in that day was the truth, he did not believe that Jesus was the Christ. He could not understand it at all, but he was a stickler, shall I put it that way, for Moses and the law of Moses and all things that Moses stood for. And when he was called in question by the rulers, those who as much oppose the doctrine of Christ as Saul of Tarsus ever did. But the Lord was pleased to have long since, yea, from before the world began, to choose the apostle who afterwards was the apostle Paul, and teach him the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. He who did not at first believe that Jesus was the Christ. And I was surprised when I read here just a few days ago that he was anxious and took part in the putting to death or in prison those who called upon the name of Jesus, which Paul or Saul did not believe. He thought he was doing God's service by bringing them to the knowledge of the truth, putting them in prison, some of them killing them. Oh, what a miserable thing it was that when the servant of the Lord stood there in the midst of Saul was there and many others were there, and he preached Jesus and him crucified. And yet, in the apostles' understanding, it was not yet revealed that these things were of God. And so Saul of Tarsus took active part in the fact that he held the cloaks of those who were stoning Stephen to death. This wonderful man of God. And it seems to me that in that sermon, that's what it was to me, that the Lord blessed him to touch upon everything that the Spirit of God teaches in the children and to his children. And Stephen was not afraid, he was not ashamed of these things to proclaim them, even in the midst of those who did not believe. Many of them did not believe that he was preaching the truth, but only the Spirit of God. Now, there are many people who are the Lord's people that have not yet been brought out of darkness into the marvelous light. But we may feel sure and contend earnestly for the fact that God sends forth his Spirit into the hearts of his people. And he brings them to know the truth. There's positively no other way that his people could ever know or learn the truth, except by revelation, except that the Father sends forth his Spirit into the hearts of his people, teaches them, brings them to know the truth, so that when the Lord has finished, shall I say, sending forth his Spirit into the heart of one like Saul of Tarsus, and bringing him through that terrible experience of seeing the light from heaven and hearing the voice from heaven, and yet did not know what it was. So he said, "Who art thou, Lord? What wilt thou have me do?" And so, my brethren, I have always contended, or ever since I've been trying to stand before the Lord's people, I have contended that nobody knows the truth, nobody can know the truth, except those unto whom the Spirit of God reveals the truth. And that is the only way that in this late day, if we may call it a late day, that we, the Church of God, those who compose the Church of the Living God, the people of God, they are those that God chose out to the world before the world began, and sends forth his Spirit into their hearts now to cause them to know and to believe the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. And so, while there are many that profess to believe, that have not come under the teaching of the Spirit of God, they profess to be Christians, they are not ashamed to say yes if they're in question. But the fruits, my brethren, by the fruits that they bear, it's the only way that we know whether a man or a woman is a Christian or not, whether he's a child of God or not, is whether he testifies of what the Lord has done for him. Not what he's done for the Lord, because poor puny men can never do anything, have never done anything that advanced the kingdom of God, because God knew every one of his people, chose him in his Son before the world began. And he did not leave it up to men, the apostles, or anybody else to go out into the world and there to persuade the people to believe that Jesus was the Christ. Only by the quickening power of the Spirit of God has any man or woman ever been born of the Spirit. And you know that it is absolutely necessary that we must be born of the Spirit. As Christ said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so the knowledge of the truth does not come from the teachings of men. Men can teach us many things in philosophy. Men can teach us many things in all the sciences. But my brother, it takes the Spirit of God and that alone. But it takes that to enter into by the grace of God, sending it into the hearts of every one of those that he chose in Christ before the world began. And though they, every one of them, to a more or less degree, but always to some degree, believe that they can do something, that God requires them to do something of their own selves in order to be brought into the knowledge of the truth. Everybody believes that, and everybody will that if you're talking to somebody and he said, yes, I've done great things, I want to tell you what I have done. And as I said here, Elder Helms heard a man speaking somewhere down in Northern Virginia, I suppose, somewhere down in that section, that the man says, I'm going to tell you what God's going to do for you. Well, Elder Helms heard that. He knew that that wasn't the truth. And he listened, I suppose, very politely. And when he had an opportunity, he told the brethren about it, and he said, it wasn't what God was going to do for you, but what he's already done. And the eternal wisdom of God, purpose of God, he's already done that. And so that's what I have to preach, my brethren. Not, I've never thought for one moment that in my standing before the Lord's people that I had ever been able to show, point out, to push into that salvation was by the grace of God. And the Lord only, in sending forth his Spirit in the hearts of his people, remember that those in whose spirit, in whose heart he sends his Spirit, they are those, every one of them, that the Lord chose in Christ before the world began. And in the fullness of time, not only did Jesus come into the world, but I am persuaded to believe that in the fullness of time, God sends forth his Spirit into the hearts of every one of those in their order, in their time, God's time, that he sends forth the Spirit into their hearts, and he causes them to see and to know full well and confess with tears in their eyes so often that in me, that is in my flesh, there dwells no good thing. And when a man, there's so many today, thousands of them today are saying to the world, I am a Christian. I'm a born-again Christian. Well, I could wish it were true, but I'll tell you the test, my brethren. At least I feel it's a test. Anybody that tells you that I'm a born-again Christian, some of them are very bold. Some people are very bold because they feel that the Lord has chosen them to reveal, as a man, to men, to reveal the truth. God hasn't done that. He sends forth his Spirit. He sends forth his Spirit into his servants and enables them to preach the truth and contend earnestly for the truth, but it is for the purpose of confirming them that the things that the Lord has wrought in their hearts are true. So I could not possibly take some that believed in salvation but was by the works of men or partly by the works of men and tell them earnestly that it is only by the grace of God, by God sending forth his Spirit into the hearts that we believe the truth, because I could not possibly so speak with the Spirit and the power of the Spirit. Because it takes the speaking of the power of the Spirit in the hearts of the Lord's people. Not everybody. Jesus Christ is not trying to persuade. He has never sent out men into the world to persuade men to believe and to believe that Jesus was the Christ. And if they would believe that Jesus was the Christ, he's a saved character. Nobody is ever can be or ever has been or ever will be a saved character, so save those whom God chose in his Son before the world began. Now, I know that this is a particular. I know this is a hard doctrine. But, my brethren, there's not a thing in the Scriptures that contradicts such a doctrine as that. Because You know, he said, that after those days I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel. Not like the covenant I made with the fathers when I took them by the hand and led them out of Egypt, but a new covenant. And he said, I will write my laws in the heart, put them in the mind. Man shall no more teach his brethren or his brother or his neighbor, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least to the greatest of them. So I have nothing to do with, I don't even have a good word for those who pretend that they can come before dead sinners who have never been quickened, and so tell them that they can do something in order to put God under obligation to them to receive them and save them. No, not that. But here, the apostle here said, who grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. No, he gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Then to these brethren here of Galatia, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. There's just one gospel, and that was preached by Jesus. That was preached by the followers of the Lamb, whom the Lord had chosen and sent forth to speak words of truth and soberness. But he said, I marvel to these Galatian brethren, they were children of God, so far as we have any idea at all, that to whom be glory forever and ever, who gave himself for us, for our sins, that we might that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. Now, if you cannot go beyond in anything whatsoever you're talking about concerning religion, concerning the truth as it is in Christ Jesus, you cannot go beyond those things, because it says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of God, the grace of Christ, unto another gospel. Now, my brethren, there's only one gospel, just one. The Apostle Paul, in being taught of the Lord, in that wonderful journey he had to Damascus, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Well, the Jews wouldn't have it. Nobody would have the truth in those days. Nobody really, in truth and in reality, believes the gospel today, except those who have been taught of the Lord. Nobody can believe these things. They're not things that you can read out of the book and believe them, but they're things that the Spirit of the Father himself, he sends it into the hearts of those people that he loved, those people that he gave to his Son, Jesus Christ, before the world began, and brings them to know the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. And these people, it's a hard saying, these people, and I don't know who they are, I don't know who all they are, but only as we see the fruits of the Spirit in the Lord's people do we know, and can we really say, my brother or my sister, unless they speak the language that the Lord has put into your heart, made you to believe that Jesus was the Christ, and that God sent him here for the express purpose of redeeming every one of those that the Father gave his Son before the world began, and to know another. Now, I know that is considered a very narrow doctrine. And as a matter of fact, if I were still yet, and you were still yet in your carnality, the Lord had never spoken to you in your heart, you would say, yes, I can do certain things, many things. But, oh, my brethren, yes, a man shall no more teach his neighbor, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all, or his brother, I believe, or his neighbor, do know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least to the greatest. And so I am fully persuaded that under the teaching of the Spirit of God and the callings of God, that is not a one of the Lord's people, but what the Father sends forth his Spirit into their hearts, they may be ignorant, they may be black or white or any other thing at all, but the Lord chose his people in his Son before the world began, and he alone, sends forth his Spirit into their hearts and teaches them that Jesus preached the gospel, that Paul and the others preached the gospel, and they are no more ashamed under the teachings of the Spirit of God. They're no more ashamed of the gospel than was Saul of Tarsus after he was brought into the knowledge of the truth. And so, my brethren, that's all we have to preach, is Jesus Christ and him crucified, and to say that he was sent here by God the Father. It's a deep mystery why and how that God should love poor sinners, nothing but sinners, unworthy creatures. And yet God loved them. He loved them with such a wonderful and powerful love that he gave his only begotten Son. He only had the one Son, but he gave that Son, sent him here for the express purpose of redeeming those that he gave to his Son before the world began, redeeming them from their sins and their iniquities and bringing them into the knowledge of the truth, so that his name, the name of their God, should be published throughout the world. But the Lord sends forth his Spirit, and by that Spirit alone does he quicken. There's nothing you can do when a person is dead, corporally dead. There's absolutely nothing you can do. The doctors can't do a thing in the world to bring him back to life. It's absolutely impossible. But now in this being dead in trespasses and in sins, the Father sends forth his Spirit and speaks in the heart. He brings them to know the truth as it is in Christ Jesus, gives them hope of eternal life, and they, from that time, as long as they live, they're always desirous of giving praise, honor, glory unto the God of heaven. Not unto themselves, but to the God of heaven. I mentioned not too long ago, what a wonderful thing it is that the brethren of like precious faith, they love to gather themselves together. They love to talk about how great things the Lord's done for them. Well, I know we get together sometimes, we begin to talk about politics and everything else, but when it pleases the Lord to take those things away from us, putting this word in our hearts, enabling, loosening our tongues, we talk about how great things the Lord has done for us. Don't you rejoice in that? Much more so than who's going to be running for president or some such as that. But it is that we desire to know, desire to be confirmed by the Spirit of God in our hearts, confirming us that we wasn't mistaken when the Lord sent forth his Spirit and brought us out of the darkness into that marvelous light of the Son of God. And so, my brethren, in preaching these things, the apostle says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ, into the grace of Christ, unto another gospel, which is not another. There is but one gospel. But there be some who trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. I suppose I probably should not say some things that I often say concerning the opposition. Those who feel that they are enabled by the Spirit of God to quicken the men to such an extent that they admonish them to believe, to accept the Lord, and all of those things, and be saved. My brethren, I simply believe and understand the Scriptures to teach that no man, no woman, boy, girl, has ever of himself accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. As the first, the work of the Spirit in the heart. And we must emphasize that the Spirit of God is sent into the hearts of his people, whom he chose in Christ before the world began. And they, when they are blessed to preach, they preach Jesus Christ and him crucified, having no confidence in the flesh, never telling something that is some things they ought to do, but which is impossible for them to do, because only the Spirit of God is sent from heaven into the hearts of his people to quicken them to the knowledge of the fact that they were dead in trespasses and in sins. And then further along to bring them to have hope of eternal life and rejoice in these things. At one time they didn't know a thing in the world about. But I say to you, my friends and brethren, I say to you that you few have been, and I know many of you, not all of you, have been brought by the Spirit of God to contemplate, to think about, worry about. I'm such a sinner. God wouldn't, of course, I know that God wouldn't look down upon such a sinner as I am, as you would say. But he does, my brethren, because God knows his people. He loves his people. He sent his son to save his people. And it is not incumbent and not possible that men could get up and scare people to death by telling them that it isn't but just a few more years or days or months or something or other, and Jesus is coming back, and now is the accepted time. You better be quick in doing it. It'll be too late. Never too late, my brethren, for the Lord to send forth his Spirit into the hearts of his people that he chose in Christ Jesus before the world began. Never too late. The Lord knows them that are his. He knows what to need. And he sends them forth, the Spirit, into the hearts. And I said this, I don't like to repeat. I do a lot of repeating, I'm sure. But I know that they told us when I went to Sunday school, they said that Jesus Christ came, God sent his son to the cross, and he died upon the cross. Now he's invited, and now he's expecting men and women to believe the truth, to accept Jesus Christ. But I thought about that, maybe mentioned it too, that if it were incumbent or necessary that a person who dead in trespasses and in sins should or could of their own volition refuse to any longer believe what they now believe, but would believe the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, I don't believe that a man or a woman who has not been quickened could possibly say that I went to the cross, I went to the foot of the cross, I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm a saved character. It's impossible for those who are dead in trespasses and in sins, whether they know it or not, it's impossible for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ and rejoice in it, because there must be the work of the Spirit in the heart, and always is in the heart of the Lord's people. Now, I don't know how many millions. I have no idea. I'm not going to try to guess at it, because there's nothing, no landmarks that I know of. But the Lord has his people, billions of them, maybe. I don't know. But all that the Lord loved, all that the Lord gave his son before the world began, the world is full of them so far as the Lord leads his people, brings them forth out of darkness to the marvelous light. But he has not given men, commanded men to commence to persuading men, showing how terrible it will be in that day when the world will be on fire and it's too late then. I tell you, my brethren, the Lord knows his people. It's never too late, because he sends his Spirit into the hearts of his people long, long time, if I may use it that way, before the world shall end, because God is ruling. God knows his business. He's carrying on these things just exactly as he would, and it will never be too late, because he will call and does call all of his people that he loved and chosen his son. He calls them out of darkness into the marvelous light of the Son of God. He gives them hope. And if you felt, as I started to say a while ago, if you felt many wonderful and glorious things that has been in your heart, mysterious things, things you couldn't understand, and yet it was so fully made evident in your heart that you were a vile sinner and nothing good in me. Well, I'm so glad that our God has not made any of these things conditional, as the world tells us is conditional. No, he hasn't done that, because God knows his people. He knew his people when he was here in the world. He didn't have to ask somebody, is that one of my disciples? He knew them. And he knows them because his Father sent him. He was not a volunteer because all that the Father gave him, he sent him to save them, to bleed, suffer, bleed and die, that they might be redeemed from all their sins and their iniquities. He was crucified. He was crucified, but he rose from the dead. Yes, the Lord had fixed it so that he, the very Son of God, should be crucified and put to death by wicked, the hands of wicked men. And yet God had it so fixed that after 3 days, 3 nights, and whatever time that may have been, that he brought him forth as a glorious conqueror over death, hell, and the grave. He says, Father, I finished the work thou gavest me to do. Glorify thou me with the same glory that I had with thee before the world began. And the Father says, I have both glorified thee and will glorify thee. And so, my brethren, we preach, we believe, the Spirit teaches a finished salvation. Not that I stand before you persuading. If I knew somebody here that didn't believe, I never would undertake, the Lord being my helper, I would never undertake to try to teach that person, even though I knew it. I wouldn't try to teach him to know the Lord, because it would be utterly impossible. But if I see those treading softly, being very quiet, and yet in loving to come to the meetings and hear the doctrine preached, and I see those, brethren, I see something of the work of the Lord's hands in our midst. It's his work. It's by his grace that we are what we are. Nothing at all that we do, nothing we can do. But the apostle was so marveled. He said, I marveled that they were so soon removed from him that he called you into the grace of Christ, unto another gospel, which is not another. There's not but one gospel, if which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Now Paul did not believe that Jesus was the Christ at the time, as we know, and he didn't believe that the gospel that was being preached, the doctrine that was being preached, was the gospel. He didn't believe that. But it took with him, just the same as it takes with you and us, all of us, you and me, it takes the Spirit of God in the heart, and is only sent to the Lord's people. Remember that. He sends it into the heart. He opens up the understanding that I'm a vile sinner, not worthy of the voice of God speaking, sometimes it seems in my heart. Not worthy of talking about, or even trying to contend, or to try to let the brethren know. I don't know of anybody that tries to hesitate, to try to hide behind things in his heart, that he's so afraid that these were not of the Lord, that he doesn't want to deceive anybody. But I say to you, my friends and brethren, that if you have been experiencing certain things that makes you realize that you're a vile sinner, a helpless sinner, can't do anything that is well-pleasing, not even well-pleasing to you, but well-pleasing in the sight of God. But this is the way that God leads his people. This is the way that he sends them forth. This is what makes them tread softly. This is what makes them prayerfully go in the secret of the night or day and pray unto God to have mercy upon them. So he says, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. There are many, many thousands of men today professing to be ministers of the gospel that are perverting the gospel of Christ. Because it says, and the Apostle Paul proves his point by saying, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. The truth is the truth. It was the truth in the day that Christ was here. It was the truth hidden in the secrets of God's wisdom and power and glory before the world began. And it hasn't changed yet. Men can't change it. We may say that we don't believe that, but we believe this. If you don't believe the very things that only the Spirit can reveal in your heart, you have a false revelation. You're trying to make yourself believe something that isn't true. But he says here, if any man, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. So I say again, if there been some wonderful, glorious works, made you happy, made you to sing praise to God and give him thanks, that he has so condescended, he so come down to men and women of low estate, even unto those that he loved before the world began. So if you're having these things, my friends, if you're having doubts and fears and troubles, and yet sometimes you feel assured that the Lord has spoken your heart because you know you believe now something you didn't believe some other time. For he goes on to say, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Very deep subject, isn't it? I heard a man the other day on the television say all you've got to do is come up here and believe, except what let the Lord knows, unless you openly confess it before men, there's no salvation. Well, I'm glad that I don't believe what he did. But I have no way of knowing anything, as I believe, except what as a young boy I was, a young man, that he brought me to see myself as what I really was. And then after a while, after much suffering, doubting, fearing, trembling, he did something for me that I'd never have understood. But I do know that whereas I was told by men that it was necessary that I and all, everybody, should do certain things to let God know that you wanted to be saved, as if God didn't know all things. So if you ever hear anybody say, you better be about the business now, you better be letting the Lord know you want to be saved, it's going to be too late sometime. Brethren, no one, no man or woman or child shall be saved, save those that God the Father chose in his Son Jesus Christ before the world began. Just those. Jesus said, all that the Father hath given me shall come unto me, and he that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. He said in Acts of the Apostles, it says there that they that were ordained to eternal life, they believed. Yes, those who were ordained to eternal life believed, as the apostle and Barnabas, I believe it was preaching. They believed. Yes, but it wasn't because they had something of their own to lean upon and take hold of. No, not that. And the apostle said, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Isn't that wonderful? For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now I know, my brethren, that this is a controversial subject. No controversy among the Lord's people, who have been taught, who have been brought out of darkness. But those that have not been brought out of darkness, they're ready to say that I have done great things. The Lord requires me to do something. He requires all men to do something. And if we will do it, then we'll be saved. But I'm telling you, my brethren, I'm so glad. I'm so glad that I never have believed since that time that I could do something to bring myself into favor with God. Never have. I mourn over my complete failure sometimes. I mourn over my abrupt manner of speaking sometimes. But my brethren, I would rather speak two words, knowledge things that I felt, things I fully believe in, than a whole book full of things which men try to teach us to know. And if we know them, we'll be saved. It's only sent Jesus to his Father. All that the Father hath given me shall. Not maybe. Not that I would like for them to. But they shall come unto me. The matter is a positive statement. It is not something that's wishy-washy. Not something that you can do if you will do. But something that the Lord has already done for you. And we'll have to let it rest right there, because it goes no further than unto those that the Father chose in his Son Jesus Christ before the world began. May the Lord be with you, my brethren. Deep, mysterious, wonderful, glorious things. But when the Spirit of God opens them up, how wonderful and how beautiful it is. And we know nothing else save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Someone selecting him. It's 4:18. Now to thy praise, eternal King. Is that right? Yes, let's turn to the last hymn on page 168. I feel, my brethren, that this teaches the same doctrine that I've been trying to speak about this morning. Now to thy praise, eternal King, be all my thoughts employed, while of his precious truth I say, cast down, but not destroyed. Off the united powers of hell, my soul have sore annoyed, and yet I live. This truth to tell, cast down, but not destroyed. In all the paths through which I have trod, which I have passed, what mercies I have enjoyed. And this shall be my song at last, cast down, but not destroyed. When I in heaven with God appear, there shall I him adore. Destroyed shall be my sin and fear, and I cast down no more. Let us stand. I've announced an open door for the reception of members, should there be one present that's exercised.
Now to thy praise, eternal King, be all my thoughts employed, while of his precious truth I sing, cast down but not destroyed. Cast down but not destroyed.
Bye.
destroy. Cast down, but not destroy.
And this shall be my song at last. Cast down, but not destroy. When I in heaven with God appear, there shall I Him adore. Destroyed shall be my sin and fear, and I cast down no more.
And I cast down no more. And I cast down no more.
I want to announce, the Lord willing, we'll have a meeting at New Valley next Sunday. This is the fifth Sunday. Now let us look to the Lord. Lord, we humbly thank Thee for the blessings, the multitude of Thy blessings that Thou hast bestowed upon us, and confessing that we realize we're not worthy of the very least of them. We thank Thee that Thou hast brought us out of darkness, that we're not deceived, into Thy marvelous light. Oh Lord, enable us to praise and adore Thy great and holy name, for the gift of Thy Son and the hope that Thou hast implanted in our hearts, that though we are vile sinners, and yet the Lord has loved us, gave His Son for us. Father, be with us all the way through this life and save us at last. We beg for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.